Welcome back, interweb friends, to Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. This week, I'll be making fun of them with a cold, as you may be able to hear. You may also hear a cough drop, so feel free to send in your witty Facebook comments on that at the end of this week. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm here with most of the Stop the Movie crew. Got Jack Estabrook.
Hi.
Cody Wohl.
Not for me, baby.
And Brian Mueller.
Hey, what's going on?
Nice. With a return by Lindsay Lohan to the podcast. Yeah. When Lindsay Lohan makes a movie, you just have to cover it.
We have a Google alert on Lindsay Lohan.
We could not cover this.
She's made more appearances on this podcast in the past year than she has in films.
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably becoming better known for these terrible
movies.
We are
spreading the word on Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, thank God you said word. I didn't know where that was going for a second.
No, okay. Well, she's spreading enough herself, but okay. We're spreading the word on her.
Okay. She's quite a few things are being spread. Our movie this week is The Canyons. Mm. It is available on
the
DVD.
The Canyons.
Mm, yeah, that Canyons title could mean so many things that I don't want to think about.
What does it mean?
I think it's just a generic reference to LA's, I think they're talking about LA's Laurel Canyon neighborhood, I think. But that's such an inside LA tight. If it is what I think it is, that's a stupid title.
It doesn't really have anything to do with the area. It could take place anywhere.
Neither did all those photographs.
There's so much like LA based like douchiness in this movie. If somebody says like, "Oh, are LA people awful?" It's like, yeah, they're awful.
They're all like the people in the canyons.
Yeah.
This movie is full of douchebags, isn't it? Like every guy in this movie is just a douchebag.
Well, everybody, every person,
every person,
even the chicks. Yeah.
The only. Maybe I should wait to get into it, but the only character that I had any feeling towards or who I care about at all was Ryan's girlfriend. I think it was Gina.
Yeah.
Who was like just a nice girl and didn't know that her boyfriend was a douche and then had her heart broken.
She wasn't into any weird, creepy.
Like, the one gay producer wasn't terrible.
No, and he
kind of got strong-armed into
it. Yeah, but right. You're right. Yeah,
but then he was kind of into it. Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
He was kind of into it, too.
But that was really the entire reason he was in the movie was for that scene, so it wasn't like...
Yeah.
And that scene didn't really have a payoff, either. So what was the point to it?
It might have for Ryan.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had a payoff. We just didn't
see it. Not for the audience. The biggest laugh I had in this movie comes right off the top before we've even seen an actor. Because this movie just shows you a bunch of scenes of broken down, falling apart movie theaters. Yeah. And if you're making a movie with Lindsay Lohan and you're putting images of empty, broken down movie theaters, you're just asking people to make the connection.
Yeah.
This is what Lindsay Lohan is doing to the film industry.
What were they thinking? It had no connection to anything.
I
think there's
except
one,
for that.
There's one some, throwaway line. There's one throwaway line that was in the trailer, which made me think the movie was going to be about something totally different than what it actually is about. Where she says, "When was the last time you went to a movie theater and sat down and saw a movie? Really, we're movie producers. We don't care about movies anymore." And I was like, "What?" She didn't say that exactly, but that's what they're implying. So it's like, oh, well, then this movie, I thought the movie was going to be about from the trailer, and they have that line. She says, specifically, I think the quote is, "When was the last time you've really been in a movie theater to see a movie?" So in the trailer, which also showed a lot of those empty movie theaters, and it also showed a lot of the sex scenes, I thought the film was going to be about...
people having sex in old abandoned theaters.
Exactly. It was going to be about someone who is being like a failed film... person being sucked into the world of porn.
I thought it was going to be a porn star.
No, that's
movie.
The behind the scenes story of this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a porn actor being sucked into the world of
failed
actual
film
failed.
I guess I was confused then. I thought that was what the movie was about.
Yeah.
I think at one time Lindsay Lohan was attached to play, I think it was Linda Lovelace.
Yes.
In a biopic on her.
Mm. Yep.
So when this came out, I thought this was that movie for a bit. So I thought this was a movie about a porn.
You thought this was
And when you see the trailer, it looks like
story.
It.
Yeah.
It
like a Boogie Nights type
Well,
thing.
Just based on the trailer, you see all and because it had James Dean in it, the porn actress, so I was like, clearly this must be that porn movie.
Yes, that can James
we,
Dean.
Can we say that
James Dean was in this? In archive footage.
I don't know how many quote-unquote films he has been in, but my God,
this is his first.
Well, I don't think he's the worst.
Well, he plays the creepiness pretty well. He doesn't emote
James,
very much.
Porn actor James Dean is Lindsay Lohan's co-star. We can just put that out there. And he is not, I don't think, the worst of the leads in this. I think, we'll set it up. The first scene in the movie is Lindsay Lohan and James Dean are a couple. They're out to dinner with another couple.
Ryan and Gina.
Ryan and Gina. Ryan is an aspiring actor. Gina is James Dean's personal assistant. And this is like the most L.A. scene ever. Yeah. As James Dean and Lindsay Lohan rudely sit there and look at their phones. While during this whole dinner, while the Ryan and Gina, who are portrayed as more normal people, try to actually have a conversation
with
them.
They're like graciously thanking them for funding a movie. It's just some generic horror movie.
Yeah, Ryan has been cast in this this slasher movie that James Dean is producing.
Yeah. and right off the top, I want to get into my biggest problem with this movie is the way it's edited. And I don't mean like, you know, what they left in, what they left out.
You mean
this,
showing somebody's face while they're talking and their mouth isn't moving, that kind of editing?
That is weird. It's more in the pacing. Like, and I feel bad criticizing this. Like, everyone who's sitting here has edited before. Mm-hmm. And this felt like very rookie editing. I know they made this movie on a $200,000 budget. It looks better than a $200,000 movie.
Really? That's all it cost?
Yeah. That's all they made it for.
Seriously?
But it really shows in the editing because it has that kind of like novice editing where like one person's talking, they stop, pause. Yeah, next person's talking. It's not...
On the nose with the... Yeah,
it's not paced. None of the dialogue scenes are paced properly.
Yeah, now, yeah.
You know, because that's a real giveaway.
It moves very slow.
It doesn't help when one of the main characters speaks in like two words a minute.
Yeah, that doesn't help either.
Because if you listen, probably because he's a porn actor and they don't really pay attention to dialogue.
That's
man, usually there's only one or two of these scenes in the
movie. What are we doing? Shakespeare here?
Yeah.
Am I the plumber in this one? No, you're not the plumber. Damn it, stop.
Do I get naked?
Because when you listen to like a good movie, the dialogue is overlapping. You're getting a rhythm to it, and there is a complete failure of rhythm in all dialogue.
I'm reading what you're saying, and I agree with most of it. But I think another thing that really I'm gonna augment what Alex just said because I
that
agree
was so
with
LA of Jack. Okay, I'm reading what you're saying.
Exactly. Please. As I'm checking creepy pictures on my phone,
Jack just slipped me a card that said, "I'm picking up what you're putting down."
Exactly. Yeah.
Jack's looking at pictures of a shirtless man on his phone right now.
How do you know it's not you? I mean, what? What? Anyway, so...
Oh, augment, Jack. Augment.
I'm going to augment what he said by saying that I think also it doesn't help the production at all that this is a movie about a love triangle and absolutely no actor in this film has any chemistry with anybody else.
Plus, like I said, they're all terrible people, so you don't really care if they end up with each other.
Yeah, and that's
I really don't care.
Because this is like, it's written, the movie is directed by Paul Schrader, who's, you know, the writer of Taxi Driver or Cat People, I mean, you know, kind of famous, and written by Bret Easton Ellis,
who did American Psycho.
He's, you know, Rules of Attraction. He's famous for, I'm going to butcher this, someone is going to send me something saying, like, no, the quote is, but that it's, beautiful people doing horrible things in beautiful settings, or like Bret Easton Ellis is always fascinated by rich and powerful people acting terribly.
Yeah,
and you see a lot of that in this movie, like, you know, these people just behaving deplorably. Right. But Cody's right, you can't identify with anyone.
None of
the
them
film.
Are have any sort of charm, or you don't care. You know, like American Psycho, it's the same sort of thing. He's psychotic, but he's got, you know, Christian Bale has some sort of charm, and it's like.
Yeah.
You're kind of fascinated with it a little bit. And with this movie, just like, and getting back to the first scene is all exposition.
Yeah.
It's them talking, you know, Ryan's thankful that he's got this job that Lindsay Lohan helped him get. Yep. And in this scene, like, I liked Ryan and Gina. I was like, okay, you know, obviously
it
Christian.
It actually seemed like decent characters.
Christian and Lindsay Lohan.
2 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
They seemed okay.
Christian and Tara are terrible people, but these two are like wholesome and, oh, he's just trying to get an acting job and. You know, Gina's a sweet girl, and so I'm like, okay, maybe these two characters are someone I can, you know, attach myself to. But then two scenes later, you find out, oh no, Ryan's a total dick too. He's a jerk. So it's like, then right there, it's like, okay, I don't care about him.
Well, and I do just question Paul Schrader's judgment because I think you could argue the best actor in this is the girl who plays Gina, who actually I think does sort of, give some dimension to her role, and she's
I wanted her to be in it more. I was like, let's see more of. Yeah. Her, you know, figuring it out or something, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely would have liked to see more of her.
So then it goes to...
The dinner conversation turns to swinging and threesomes.
As dinner conversations will.
I didn't know what they were going with here. Was he, like, putting out the line to see if they were interested? Or was he just bragging? I've got this hot chick and we swing. I'm better than you.
I think it was a very L.A. moment of it was both. he was kind of putting it out there as bragging, but was also
just
like
putting it out there.
You know, also like I hope you know, read it. Yeah. If you're into that, we can all get a wheatgrass smoothie later, and you know, see where things go.
It's basically just, you know, Ryan's like, "Oh, thanks for giving me this job," and then Christian's like, "Hey, we're swingers," and then it ends, and then it goes to Christian and Tara at their house, and they've got some guy. He comes over.
Some random dude disrobes.
Yeah, yep. And
starts doing things to himself.
He gets naked. They start
while
banging.
Lindsay Lohan
He starts Cusacking himself.
And I wanted to ask you guys, okay, so James Dean and Lindsay Lohan bring this guy over who gets naked.
Presumably they met him in a chat
room
or something.
Did you notice they go to a cutaway of that guy left his phone on a chair? And there's like a zoom into his phone.
Oh, yeah, there is.
I thought that was Ryan Dean's phone.
I think the idea is that he's videotaping it.
It was James Dean's phone.
Or James Dean's phone.
He's recording it on his
phone. He was recording it, then he puts his phone down. So I think it's just he likes to film it, but that doesn't go anywhere.
It doesn't. I kept thinking like, I guess that very, I don't know.
It was like a very like 10-second shot.
And the guy did look a little bit. And the guy did look a little bit like the Ryan character, too.
Yeah. And
at first I was like, is that Ryan? Oh, no, it's not.
That never came back.
Yeah, no,
right?
Never.
Okay. That's great. The one plot device it seemed to set up never came back.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to make fun of this movie. It has, and we're making fun of a $200,000 movie, it has the worst background and extra work I have ever seen in any level of production. This is the most like noticeable. When you're doing background work, you don't want it to be noticeable.
Right.
These are the most noticeable. Like they're all walking awkwardly. They're all like over.
I didn't
notice
a few times. It's like
it's a great example.
There's always it's like blocked weird. Like
you're aware of
it. You could read the blocking. Like you could see it from a mile away.
Yeah. There's people doing things that you would never.
Yeah. And it's funny because I did notice at one point when Ryan's like going to his boss to ask for more money or whatever. He's like walking through the thing, and I think it was that scene. And there's like a girl walking through with binders, and it's like just so obviously like an extra moment. It wasn't like natural at all.
Yeah,
I did notice that. For
everyone's
some reason,
walking
so
like they were being told walk from here to here.
Like you could feel the blocking. Like she's like, okay, I gotta get there. Okay, I'm here.
In the scene, two step, three step.
In the scene where Lindsay Lohan is talking to the Gina character in the diner, there's like every table has got an attractive white couple just gazing at each other, kind of nodding and silently muttering things. And they're all like, it's almost as if they were CGI'd and copy-pasted into every booth.
And if you watch this movie, watch the scene where Lindsay Lohan walks through an LA mall, and I don't know which one it is, but watch the background extras, because I just imagine that like off screen there was like a second assistant director like screaming, "Don't look at the camera! Don't look at the camera!" And everyone's just thinking, "Oh my god, don't look at the camera! Don't look at the camera!"
I'm gonna do it. I'm looking.
Like it's like, don't think of an elephant. Yeah. Don't think of an elephant. They're all working so hard to not look right into the lens.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny too because in that scene in the mall, she's like walking around, and I think she suspects that someone like might be following her. But then it looks like the extras are legitimately looking at her because they're like, "Oh, that's Lindsay Lohan."
Yeah,
so then it creates the impression that like everyone in the area actually is watching Lindsay Lohan. Lohan's character when really they're just watching Lindsay.
Is it kind of like an abduction where everyone
it's like a scene from Invasion of the Body Snatchers where they're all just staring.
Everyone in abduction is taking pictures of Taylor Lautner at the Pirates game.
So they start developing this storyline of Ryan, who's the actor, used to be in a relationship with Lindsay Lohan.
They don't really start to develop it. They throw it at
you.
They have lunch, and he's like, "Hey,
coffee."
Well, she basically.
She's like, "I've been screwing you for 4 weeks," and she's like, "Oh, you know."
Now, at first, I was confused because they set so little up, I thought that they had only been together for 4 weeks, and she was in an unhappy relationship, and she was looking to get out. But then he gives her the option, and she says, "No, you don't make any money. This guy makes money."
Right.
So I didn't even know they used to date. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but I got the sense that they were only
That conversation, like, literally went in a circle of, like, four different lines for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like, "We were so happy in those 4 weeks. No, you're a bartender and don't make enough money. I need someone who can provide for me. But we were so happy in those 4 weeks. But I want money." It's like,
may I just say here that Brian's impersonation of that scene is dead on. It's
that was the worst scene in the movie. Far and away.
If you take Brian's flat reed and like my sore throat voice, you get
Lindsay Lohan. You do have Lindsay Lohan voice.
Yeah, I do. I feel like I sound like Lindsay Lohan in this movie right now. Like I've had like 20 cigarettes before we started rolling.
But with Lindsay Lohan, it's all natural.
Yeah.
And that's the point too where I realized I didn't care for Lindsay Lohan's character either, because it's like she's not like oh, I'm in this relationship and I'm stuck and I want to get out though. She's like,
he's using
no, I'm with him because he has more money than you. And it's like, okay, I don't care then if you,
yeah,
if you want to be out of your shit, then
it's like, okay, he's objectifying her because he's using her to tease other guys in this bizarre sex thing. But then she doesn't care and she's like, no, I want to stay with him.
So it's like there, I don't care about the triangle. I don't care about because it's like,
yeah, everybody's an asshole.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like either way, an asshole's gonna win.
Yeah. So James Dean is the very loose thread that goes through this movie, and it's very loose, is that James Dean is producing this movie that Ryan is starring in, that Lindsay Lohan got Ryan cast in.
Right.
Because they used to date each other.
And whenever we go to the storyline involving the movie, comedy does ensue. Like when James Dean goes and the producer is like looking at special effects.
Did anyone notice this? Yes.
James Dean shows up to talk to the producer of the movie. The producer's like, oh, I'm just looking at what effects we can do. And I'm like, dude, you're looking at like just a terrible 3D model.
Yeah, it's a wireframe of like a...
Like
a commercial for ITT
Tech.
Yeah, you're looking at like a terrible pre-viz that someone could have done on Adobe After Effects. And then... For some reason, and some of this stuff never made sense to me, James Dean is aware that something weird is going on with Ryan and Lindsay Lohan. So James Dean says to the director, or it says to the producer of the movie, I want you to sleep with James Dean.
No, I want you to sleep with Ryan.
Yeah, to make a pass at him to see if he's gay.
To make a pass at Ryan to see if he's gay. To which point, even the producer's like, yeah, okay, I'm confused now. Where is this going?
And the producer is gay, so it's not like...
They establish the producer is gay, and he wants to... I think he might have a thing for my girlfriend. I want to calm my mind. I'm trying to speak as James Dean's character. To calm my mind, I want to prove
that he's
gay.
Well, you gotta go a lot lower and slower than that.
I want you to see if he's gay.
And then even the producer in the movie is like... Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. That doesn't add up.
Do you notice that's James Dean's like reaction to everything? Every time someone asks him why, he's like, that's not important.
Yeah, because and then finally the producer's like, look, this doesn't make sense. This sounds terrible.
He's got a boy or a girlfriend.
Yeah,
and he's banging his girlfriend. So it's like, why? What are you trying to prove?
And so finally, James Dean has to say, like, look, here's the deal: do this or you get fired. And the guy's like, okay, I don't. I'm really.
If he says no, it's a joke, and you could blame it on me, so you won't get in trouble. And if it's not, maybe you get laid.
And the director is just looking at James Dean like, I feel like this was another real life moment in these movies where he's like, all right, let's just go forward with this.
Just keep this movie going. I'll say yes.
Yeah.
Well, at one point, you see, I think it was before that too. You see James Dean with his other girlfriend.
Yeah,
with the yoga instructor.
Yoga instructor.
Yeah, because he's okay. Yeah, he's cheating on Lindsay Lohan, and he's all upset that Lindsay Lohan is cheating on him.
Yeah,
and he's cheating on her with this yoga instructor. Where at one point he starts telling the yoga instructor that he's concerned that
this
Lindsay
is where my father would say stuff too. By the way,
oh god,
because of the sex scene here.
Oh, right. We should say all
right.
Andy,
can we get him on a speakerphone right now?
Should we try to say one? Andy would say, "Ooh, I like this scene."
Well,
this scene was good. I watched it four
good
times.
Atmosphere.
Regular listeners might notice Andy wasn't
see your
here.
Nipples? Nipple placement.
I'm not sure why Andy isn't here. I did get a phone call this week from a government agency who said that having Andy watch and comment on The Canyon starring Lindsay Lohan was a national security risk, and that he would be available to be on the podcast once these episodes were completed. So
I mean, having Andy watch The Canyons is like entrapment. It's just
it really is. Not you're fair. Just asking for trouble.
It's not fair.
So James Dean's cheating on Lindsay Lohan with this yoga instructor, who he then proceeds to tell the yoga instructor, he's like, I'm really concerned that Lindsay Lohan's cheating on me. And the yoga instructor's like, seriously, dude? Like,
we're having this conversation now.
The irony of this is not lost on
you. Meanwhile, they're having this conversation stark naked, to the world.
Yeah, so she kicks him out, she breaks up with him, whatever.
And then it takes him a while to leave. She's like, leave. And he just looks at her. And then she says, leave, like sternly.
I think that was the only time.
And she says, effing leave. And he just stands there. Yeah. Will you effing leave already? And he just kind of.
I think that was the only time his like face changed the entire movie. Because he like smiled briefly. Like,
he did.
Yeah.
The only time his face wasn't a constant frown.
So, and we should mention too the weird scene with Ryan and his boss.
at yes. the bar.
Now, what was that? Why was that scene in the movie?
Ryan is out of cash. They established this. And in one of the many scenes where he's driving his truck and getting in or out of the truck and walking towards the door, which happens a lot in this movie, he goes inside the bar. He's on the phone. I'm out of cash. I need money. And he pulls up to the bar that he apparently works at, which we've never seen before now. And he walks up, and this bizarre music is playing. It's like a Steadicam follows him from truck to inside to the lobby where he kind of waves himself in up these very narrow stairs in an incredibly...
It's a hotel.
It looks like a hotel.
It's like a bar hotel.
In an incredibly tight office. And this guy's on the phone, and he says, oh, I got to let you go. Ryan's here. And then Ryan's like, look, I need
more
hours.
Come on, Jack, play up the impressions. I got to let you go. Ryan's here.
Yeah.
And Ryan comes in. And he sits down, and the boss is like, I gotta let you go. He hangs up.
Oh my God, this is a freaking still shot.
Yeah, Ryan says, Ryan says, I need more hours. And the boss is like, well, when you first took this job, you said you didn't want full-time hours because you wanted to be an actor. And he's like, well, look, my work is sparse. I need more money. And he walks around the desk, right? And he's leaning against the desk.
Jack's really sinking his teeth into this
one. He's leaning against the desk, and they are strongly implying, because Ryan's head is now at crotch level, they're totally implying that something is about to happen. Like, he's like, I'll do anything to get money. And then it shows the shot of a shot where it's just the boss's crotch framed.
Well, then he's playing footsie with him, too.
And he's playing footsie with him. And then he says...
He gets, a text. He's like, oh, yeah.
I gotta go. And he leaves.
They got a text.
Never seen...
The character doesn't even come back.
Nothing that happened before in the movie, factors into the scene. Nothing that happens after the only movie factors in. It's like a movie in it. It's like there's a mini movie inside the movie.
It's like within the movie, his questions about Ryan's questions about his sexuality. Because two scenes were like...
Where nothing happens.
Where homosexual activity is implied or actually occurs has no bearing in any of the plot.
No bearing on the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is this guy gay or not? Is this part of the plot or isn't it? Who cares?
It's like
they don't talk about
it. It's like
it.
A terrible B-subplot in a sitcom.
We didn't mention, too, his modeling scene.
Oh, yes. God.
Same sort of thing where it's like, I guess they're showing...
Can we say he's got like a cucumber stuffed down his little banana hammock
This really felt like if you cut this differently, this could have been from Zoolander. It was so strange done. Yeah. Oh, just terrible.
There's like this...
why was that scene in the movie?
And then they show in the background, there's just two people creeping on him.
Oh, one guy, the girl's like, oh, he's kind of cute. It's like, what is this?
Why are we... Again, actually, when you think about it, anything that happens to Ryan in this movie becomes irrelevant to
I think
the
they shot his
goes.
Scenes later and inserted him in.
So much
And the
thriller.
Poses he was doing as the model were so, blasé.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, all right, profile. And he's just like, oh, get me out of here.
Yeah. And mixed in with this, we get tons of stuff of just a lot of filler of James Dean being controlling with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah,
he sends
he sends Gina to have lunch with her to get information out of her and to, I don't know, to see if she's
cheating. Did anybody else think that or was hoping that UPS truck was going to crash through the window?
Oh, I saw the same thing. It looked like it was coming right at him.
Yeah, I was like, it should hit them.
Yeah.
It's going to become a very weird movie in a second.
Well, it could be an action movie. You don't know.
It was kind of like the scene in Spider-Man 2, but the payoff.
Yeah.
Maybe Spider-Man 2 was happening around them.
Yeah. And can we talk about text to TV?
Oh my God.
What's the point in that?
There's a point where Lindsay Lohan turns on text TV where she's looking at her text messages on a TV, and I'm like, what? This isn't a thing? Like, who would do this?
I was so baffled by
that.
Yeah, the phone's right here in front of her. Just read it.
I love how it's cleverly written to TEX. Capital TV, text.
I didn't know, I didn't understand what was happening at first because she's watching a movie and then text to TV comes up and it's like, hey, what you doing?
Yeah. I was like, this is the worst product ever.
I guess
Who does this?
I actually want to look that up.
Is that an actual thing?
What? There's got to be something like that, but what's the point? I mean, there's no point in the movie other than maybe just so we could see her text.
Oh, this also
so see her text.
Why not just have a phone call?
But
then?
There were countless scenes before where they show
texting.
People's phones.
Yeah. So
just
it's like,
on phones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she gets texts on text TV from Cynthia, who is the yoga instructor.
The yoga instructor who...
But she does not identify herself.
Let's go back for a second. Because after... So Ryan finally, he goes to the production office.
In the middle of the night, yes.
Where he's been called by the producer, mm-hmm. the gay producer, who says, shut the door, Ryan. And Ryan's like, oh, why do I gotta shut the door? Just shut the door and come in. So he comes in, shuts the door, and he tells him this whole story how the director wants to replace you, but I can save you. All you gotta do is come on this weekend trip with me, just you and I. And so Ryan's like, yeah, let's do it. And then he just stands up and he goes, why wait? Let's do it now. He pulls his pants down and he's like, come on, get me off. You know you want to suck it.
And then they show the director's face, yeah. the producer's face, and he's like, I don't know if I want, with this look in his face, like he doesn't want
to
do it.
Yeah. And then it cuts away to Ryan walking out of the building, calling Cynthia. Yeah. It's like, did that happen? Did it not happen? I don't know.
You'll really, never see these at, so this character somehow again.
Ryan was he like calling his bluff? Was he really willing to do it? I don't know.
Yeah, did that actually? I was There's not sure no, if it actually happened.
I don't know
not.
If it happened.
I have no idea.
Because the movie is trying to have you believe that somehow Ryan connected the dots, and that in Ryan's head he's like, hey, that producer just wanted to have sex with me. You know what? James Dean's behind it all. And I'm like, wait.
I'm going to give him exactly what he wants.
How would you possibly connect those dots?
So Ryan calls Cynthia because there's only like 10 people in L.A. and he happens to know Cynthia too. Yeah. So he calls Cynthia. They went to acting class together. He's like, hey, it's Ryan. We went to acting class together. I got a favor to ask you. And then it cuts away. And that's when she then texts Lindsay Lohan and says, I got to talk to you. You're in danger.
And that's when she TV texts. I just looked it up. There does not appear
but
to be any.
But at this point, Lindsay Lohan doesn't know, and neither does
the audience.
Here's
my question. I just did a quick Google search. So, I mean, maybe TV text does exist. I don't know. But
you got to Bing, Bing search it.
If it, yeah. Are we sponsored by Bing?
I don't know. But that might.
We're sponsored by
Pets.com. I internet search engined it. And all right, so here's my question. If there really is no such thing as TV text, why would you invent something like that for the movie?
I don't know. Like some graphic designer in a movie that only had a budget of $200,000, someone had to invent this graphic to do this.
What was the
know.
Thinking going into that?
I have no I don't idea. Know. Why did we just show a shot of her cell phone?
I have no idea.
It was bad.
Out of all the insane things that were in this movie, that blows my mind. They just invented a form of texting for no reason.
Because as I was watching, I'm thinking, why don't you just show her phone? Like, this is just ridiculous.
Because even Lindsay Lohan, it was kind of like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Because it takes you out, it took me out of the movie because, not that I was ever in the movie, but it took me out.
What are you saying?
Because I had the same thoughts running, like, is this, why would they have this? Is this real?
And this
like,
says a lot.
So I'm like thinking all this.
This is one of the craziest concepts in this movie. It says a lot about how crazy text TV is. Watch for it if you see this movie.
Are we supposed to assume every time a character, because then the characters get text other times in the house and it doesn't go straight to the TV.
Right. Does it go to like all the TVs? Like, couldn't Christian see that downstairs? I mean.
That's a great question.
Is he watching her text?
Would this interrupt? Yeah. If they were in the middle of recording a program, would this interrupt that?
I think it did because she was watching a movie and it went to her text.
Yeah, I don't even think she turned on text TV. I think text TV was
automatic. I think that was like T2 like Judgment Day stuff. Like, yeah. Technology is becoming self-aware.
Cyberdyne technology.
Judgment Day is here.
That was so dumb.
So Lindsay Lohan gets a text from the yoga instructor. And she goes to meet the yoga instructor because the yoga instructor is just like, oh, I know you're in danger. Yeah, you've got to meet with me. And we get.
But before she tells leaves, Christian, yeah. before she leaves, while she's in the shower, and I was very upset that her finger did not fall off in that shower.
Very true.
I just want to say, while she's in the shower, Christian swaps cell phones because apparently they both have literally the exact identical cell phone. He switches cell phones with her and she doesn't notice.
Yeah, this part was so stupid.
This is also stupid because, again, this is like if someone's grandparents wrote a script about switching cell phones. Cell phones can look the same and be very different. Yeah. The apps would be different. The text
the wallpaper.
They go a solid,
some
like...
Some people's phones have, like, a secret code you got to type in. Right.
They go a solid 12-plus hours with Lindsay Lohan not realizing...
Oh, yeah, so the next morning.
She has not her James phone. Dean's phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is she just, like... Has she not used her phone for the entire duration?
I don't want to sound sexist, but what, like, Uh-oh. Valley girl...
Here comes
girl,
some extremely sexist.
What
Jack.
Valley girl is not going to be, like, looking at her cell phone every 5 seconds? This entire scene...
Well, she's looking at through the entire dinner in the first scene, so...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden she doesn't. She just puts it in her pocket and she leaves.
Why isn't my text TV working? Oh, this must not be my cell phone.
And then, so she goes over, and the best dialogue in a movie full of weird dialogue, my favorite dialogue line is when Lindsay Lohan meets with the yoga instructor. Because the yoga instructor is trying to warn Lindsay Lohan, like, oh, James Dean is dangerous, or...
Where the hell were they meeting? Like,
I think it's
like
her house.
Yeah,
it was
like couches.
That was
the
yoga instructor's house?
She has a really nice house.
And she has that stupid thing at her gate. They play like 8 times. Whenever someone walks through the gate, it's like, Hiya! Some like voice. Like,
yeah.
It's like, and then it kind of comes in later, but not really because it doesn't
It
kind
of factors
anything.
In, but I'm like, the movie wouldn't be any different if we didn't have that.
Yeah. It's like a chime whenever they open the door.
So, yeah, they have, they're sitting there at night at her on her patio or whatever, and they're having this conversation.
Oh, sorry, you wanted to say you're crazy.
Oh, the best. Okay, oh, so the yoga instructor has this line about James Dean. She's like, he's sick. He's a sick little boy. To which Lindsay Lohan says, go on. I laughed for like 25 seconds straight. I'd actually had to
pause
like, hold on, all right. Laugh it out, okay, now we can continue on.
So, they have this whole conversation where Cynthia just tells her, I used to date Christian, and we used to do the same swinging stuff, and then at one night he had a bunch of guys over, and they ran a train on me, and they beat me up. I ended up in the emergency room. So you're in trouble. So
Lindsay Lohan says,
and then we went out for another couple months after that, and then we broke up.
And Lindsay Lohan's like, so I don't care. It's your fault that you got roofied and raped because you chose to date him, but I can control him.
At the same time,
Oh, I love this. This is my favorite part of the movie.
Christian has his buddy over, who is like...
A computer hacker?
He's like hacking into her... Hacking into her Facebook. He hacks into her phone, finds like deleted texts.
This is abduction level hacking.
Then he hacks into Ryan's bank account.
And they succeed!
I was like, well,
how long would it take you to get into his bank account?
There was a point where I was like, why stop there? Why not just go full-blown war games on us and start, you know?
Can you hack into NASA now?
Do you know how like powerful this guy is? He can hack into anyone's bank account and take their money.
Yeah.
Like, why is he doing
this movie about petty affairs when you have a guy in the movie who can take people's money out of
their bank into the president's Twitter account?
Yeah. I want a movie about that guy.
I know. That guy's a much better movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And
then the best part too was that James Dean knows exactly how long it's going to take Lindsay Lohan to get back. So he, for some reason, times it that right when Lindsay Lohan gets back home from her meeting with yoga instructor, the IT guy is leaving.
So she's walking.
She's like, who's that guy?
Like, you couldn't have timed it any better if you wanted them to meet.
And Lindsay Lohan's like, who's that? He's like, who do you mean? She's like, the guy that just walked past coming out of the door. Oh, that guy.
Wearing like a Best Buy Geek Squad shirt. Yeah.
And then James Dean's like, oh, he's my pot dealer. And Lindsay Lohan immediately is like, no. That guy was not a pot dealer.
Oh, God.
Then she challenges him about the gang rape that he did to Cynthia.
And I also want to mention, it's a good thing he got the tech like hacker guy out of there, because he's got a swinging couple coming over like 2 minutes later.
They probably passed coming up the drive.
Was, like, nearly another close call.
That
would have
been great, if the swinging couple came in and said, who's that guy who was just leaving?
Or there was a confusion. Maybe that's why he was like, who? When she asked, who is that? He was like, you mean the swinging couple or my tech guy?
Because he's like, I'm also texting right now the swinging couple.
And then she says, who's Cynthia? And he says, I don't know who Cynthia is. And she says, come on, you're lying to me. And he says, well, what I meant to say was, I know a lot of girls named Cynthia, and I didn't know which one you meant.
The dialogue in this movie is so freaking dumb.
It's so dumb.
I mean, to be written by, you know, Bret Easton Ellis is like... I don't know if they totally changed the dialogue or if it was just always this dumb.
Well,
I'm
also confused at it, and at this point in the movie is maybe a question asked. Why did they cast a porn star in the lead role?
That was actually Bret Easton Ellis actually like went out and cast him himself. He's like, for some reason he thought he was perfect for the part, like he would play it perfectly and be menacing enough, and he actually like back and forth like on Twitter and stuff and convinced him to be in this movie. James Dean wanted to break into actual films, and he's like, hey, Bret Easton Ellis and Paul Schrader, yeah, this is a great opportunity.
And they were so low budget, I mean, that they were paying everyone just $100 a day. So I mean, like, they weren't gonna get
Real?
Yeah,
for real, like $100 a day. Like,
and James Dean was a good get then.
That's how much they're paying, like, even like,
I think that's
the
actors.
Yeah.
She was so passionate about this role, or was she just so desperate for cash?
She wanted to get back in acting.
And we're gonna.
Well, I think she said the same thing think it was. It's a Paul Schrader movie and a Bret Easton Ellis movie. It's a great opportunity to get back into films. I think she thought.
And I think we'll link to this on the
Doing
Facebook
him like a
page.
Favor. Okay.
There is an amazing New York.
I read
Times
it again
article.
Last night after watching the movie.
A New York Times article on the behind. They gave a writer essentially full access to the what was going on behind the scenes, and the portrait that the writer gives is not a flattering portrait of like how this movie was being put together. It basically shows Lindsay Lohan in full-blown meltdown mode, Paul Schrader struggling to hold this movie together, the low budget, you know, forcing him to
he
make
literally had
unbelievable
another
compromises.
Actress on call.
Yeah, I read about
that. Yeah, in case Lindsay fell through or just didn't show up, he could call this other actress and have her come in and do it.
If you're listening,
which he actually did at one point. He actually fired her. And it was ready to bring this other actress in, but realized Lindsay Lohan was better, so he's like, let's give her another chance.
Wow, Lindsay Lohan was better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than whoever this other actress was.
Yeah. If you just Google, like, New York Times, The Canyons, like, behind the scenes or something like that, I'm sure it'll come up, and it's
a great
read.
Article. Yeah.
The one compliment I'll pay this movie is for $200,000, this movie looks.
Oh, it's shot well.
Good.
It's lit well. Yeah, I mean, the acting is bad, but that's.
It's bad, but yeah. So we now go into this whole, this four-way develops. We get.
Lindsay Lohan takes control for the first time, and she.
We get a lot of nakedness and a four-way with two dudes and two chicks, and she starts ordering him around in bed to perform sex acts on the dude. And
It's just weird. Not because of what is going on, but just like, it's just gross.
How it's presented.
It's just like, all about power and control.
Yeah.
And like,
a Ward Yardley situation breaks out.
It's just the power and control issues that they put in this sex scene. If you're listening at home being like, oh, I wonder if it's hot. It is not hot.
No.
Not hot.
No. No, because there's nothing with the girls. It's like, as soon as they get in bed, it's like, okay, you dudes start making out. It's like, oh. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a movie that theoretically is all about sex, there's actually surprising little
I was
sex
surprised
in
at how
movie.
Little there was. I thought there was going to be a lot more.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about sex.
I also thought it was about a porn star, too. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So this real
kind of
is. Disappointment.
Well, you really don't know what this movie's about until like the last reel, don't you?
At the end of the movie is when I was like, oh, that it was just about a love triangle, I guess.
I guess.
Well, it's also about this guy, because you finally get him with his shrink that he always talks about.
Yeah.
He's talking about how bad he felt, not about the sex with the guy, but about the fact that he was ordered to do it.
Right.
If they had just asked nicely, I would have done
it. He's like, I felt horrible.
Argument.
I felt objectified, like I was a plaything, and I wasn't in power. I wasn't in control. And then all of a sudden, this character begins to get development. All of a sudden, but it all comes at you 1,000 miles a minute, and he doesn't.
I love the
that he's just crazy
therapist,
and obsessive.
The therapist too, the cameo they have for the therapist, like crazy.
Oh, it was played by
Gus Van Sant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, why have him? This is like one role for like.
Well, and it's kind of this one scene where like they're kind of trying to develop James Dean's character, but it comes so late in the film. It's way too late to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if that scene actually was earlier on.
Yeah, they could have like opened with that scene.
Yeah, I would have. Actually, you're right. That would have probably been a better.
Or maybe if the whole film were being told like as a flashback to the therapist or something.
Well, because I mean, basically, it's about this guy who's on the edge of insanity. So it's like, if you had more of those scenes peppered throughout or had it earlier, so you know he's on the edge of insanity.
Right.
Because basically, he wakes up the next morning and Lindsay Lohan finds the phone, or realizes that he switched phones.
Right.
And he flips out and he throws her against the wall. He yells like, "I know you're." Banging Ryan. And...
Can you talk about two things in that? First, when she gets up the next morning from their orgy, in one of what was maybe the worst like use of props, she almost like knocks a water bottle over.
Oh, yeah.
She also like when she, you can totally tell that she's like trying to knock it over. And she like catches it before it even like falls off the table.
Yeah,
I'm guessing
like
they couldn't afford
this huge
to break
noise.
That prop. Yeah. Like, oh god, don't break that. Our budget will be $200,010.
We can't afford another Dasani.
Yeah.
And then secondly, she takes her landline and starts calling her cell phone to try to find it.
She dials the cell phone number like 8 times.
Yeah, why don't we? I have a note on here. There's 3 excruciating minutes looking at a phone.
I don't know if they're trying to build tension or what, but she's like walking around the whole bedroom like looking for the phone.
But she called the first time and it rang like 5 times and then stopped.
Yeah.
And then every time after that, she only lets it ring 2 times before hitting disconnect and dialing again. Like, what is wrong with your ears? Like, I was like, not even in the scene. And I was like, all right, I know it's clearly on the other side of the room. My God.
Yeah, that was very, that was annoying. And then at this point, we should mention too, in order to just, this movie kind of, which has just been in spin cycle for so long, needs to wrap things up. So Ryan, the actor, they just have a scene where he just says to his girlfriend, he's like, look, let me catch you up to speed here. I've been sleeping with Lindsay Lohan. I'm kind of obsessed with her, and that's where I'm at in my life. Oh, you're out of here? Gotcha. Okay.
We're all take your things and leave.
All right. At least we're all on the same page. All right.
And it's basically cool. Just like that. Like you just said, he's like, yeah, I've been.
It was such a logical.
Yeah. It was. And she's like, okay, get out.
He just comes clean, but then
let me lay it out for you.
But then she does something that I thought they were going to fall through with. She's like, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, I'm going to keep you. I'm going to make sure this movie comes through. But yet, at no time did I get the sense that the film that they were going to be making was in jeopardy. He just assumed.
I forgot there was a film.
He found out about me and Lindsay Lohan. He's absolutely going to not only fire me from the film, but not make it. I just know it. He's hacked my bank account. He seems to be more worried about his job than the fact that somebody hacked into his bank account. Anyway, he says...
I love that scene too.
He tells her that he comes clean, and she says to him, to get back at you, I'm going to make sure that this movie is made and you're not going to be involved at all. You know, basically she's telling him to stick it. And then she says, I'm going to go and I'm going to meet Christian personally and I'm going to do whatever it takes, no matter how degrading, to get this film made anyway without you. Which I thought was going to mean, she was going to come upon Christian and he was going to do something sexual or something violent to her. I thought they were putting this character, this vulnerable character, in jeopardy. Again, too late in the movie to introduce such a plot thread, but you not only never hear about her again, you never even see her again.
I think it was an attempt by Brett Easton Ellis to make a very kind of L.A. point of like, you know, I'm going to dump you, but you know what? We're so L.A., my version of revenge is going to be to get the movie that you're going to be fired from made. You know, which is like just very L.A., that the movie is more important than his life.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not played... Well,
well, I love the scene too. I think it's the next scene or one of the next scenes when he goes to Amoeba Music, which I don't know if they got some sponsorship from Amoeba Music or something. But there's like a 3-minute scene of him just walking through this music store in LA looking at music or whatever.
Oh, it's so weird. Yeah, it's just.
And then he walked, which is a famous music store.
By the way, that was basically Paul Schrader and Brett Easton Ellis calling Amoeba Music and being like, hey, this Lindsay, can we shoot a scene for our Lindsay Lohan movie in the store? And Amoeba Music just being like, yeah, okay, Paul Schrader. You know, yeah.
Seems like a good idea.
Yeah, no. How could this go wrong?
Right.
Yeah.
So he's they saw the movie.
He's shopping for like 3 or 4 minutes, and then he walks down to the parking garage.
Yep.
And this guy comes out behind him and he just attacks him. Was this guy actually following him? Like, I don't know.
I think so.
Was he?
I think that's the guy that kept following him. He was following Lindsay Lohan to Cynthia's house.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, but I didn't know it was the same guy.
It was.
Either way, he just attacks him, throws his phone, and then goes and checks his ATM and realizes his bank account is empty or frozen, whatever.
Which is also really a plot point that, again, never really comes into the movie. Because then at no other point does he go,
okay, I'll leave her alone if you made my money back, whatever.
So, and at the same time, James Dean now knows that Cynthia has told... Actually, you can make an argument.
I have another quick question, too.
Yeah.
Real quickly. So, James Dean, you know, has Lindsay Lohan's cell phone. Why does he need, other than, like, the bank account trick, why does he need a hacker to hack into her Facebook when he can just check her phone... and see that she and Ryan have been texting
for months.
He said he got the deleted texts So he could get those.
I don't know. I also was convinced, and I'm not, this is not a joke.
Or you could just check your Facebook on
the phone.
I
really genuinely believed, yeah, as I was watching the film, that text TV was going to come back.
I thought it was too.
Factor into the movie.
I was like, hoping it was. Gonna
be like, I went through the text TV and
like she was going to go out of her way to delete the texts, and then he was going to turn it on and watch the football game, and it was going to be up on the screen.
I kept thinking
maybe
that
he's going to throw the remote control at the TV.
And it didn't. Yeah. But he now knows that Cynthia told Lindsay Lohan that he's a psycho. So James Dean shows up at Cynthia's, and in one of the more unintentionally comedic scenes, James Dean prepares to murder Cynthia murdering her.
It was a very American Psycho scene. Like
felt
like it was American Psycho. He was like slowly like putting the gloves on
in like a back room.
Zips up his Nike hooded shirt.
He preps for like a solid like 90 seconds, like getting his outfit just talking ready. Like,
but now I'm not gonna.
Have you ever listened to Paramore? In my opinion, their 04 debut album was the best. Then they got a little more commercialized in 08.
The how Cynthia is closer to the door that would lead outside.
She goes in her bedroom.
Yeah.
And she runs towards him to get to the bedroom where he then murders her off camera, probably to
maybe
save
she thought
money
he was just going
to
do some kinky sex thing, so that's why she ran into the bathroom.
I laughed.
Oh,
out
Christian! Oh, okay.
When he came walking out of the bedroom wearing a hoodie with the hood.
Well,
on
I didn't know
what, I'm like, he, what is going on.
Was he trying to trick her that it wasn't Christian?
Yeah,
Christian's not here anymore.
I don't want the security cameras to recognize me when I run away.
Yeah. I don't want text TV to get an image of me.
Yeah.
So he just kills her.
He kills her.
And then, as he's killing her, right after he kills her, Ryan calls Cynthia's phone because he realizes Cynthia's in danger or something.
Because he could hear the chirp. He could hear the chirp of the fence. This is the callback on the chirping fence greeting because he's on his Bluetooth taunting him.
When he hears the chirp when Christian's walking up to the house, I thought, he's going to get there just in time to save her because he knows he's there. But, of course, that doesn't happen.
This isn't a better movie. Yeah.
I forgot to we forgot. That actually is. Do you realize that's two back-to-back conversations because we forgot to talk about the scene right before that where James Dean is talking to Ryan, and the first time he's calling him on the road en route to the yoga instructor's house to kill her, but Ryan doesn't say anything in the phone conversation.
I thought that he was listening to a voicemail.
I thought it was a voicemail.
Yeah, I thought it was at first too, and then they showed James Dean like talking, like, and he's like going on some huge monologue, like, probably came here when you were 18, started getting pictures taken of yourself, everyone thought you had a lot of promise. I saw you did some Pringles commercial. It sucked. See ya.
Yeah.
And Ryan doesn't say anything the whole time. So then Ryan calls the yoga instructor's phone after she's been murdered, and Ryan answers, and he's like, you should come over here and see what you've done to her. So
yeah. Well, and that's another thing. He says, like, I can't believe what you did to her, you sick man, or whatever. Yeah. So I thought, he's going to set him up to look like he's a murderer and get him arrested for this murder. Nope.
Which they kind of hint at later in the movie, but never really explain what that was about either.
Nope.
So then we just go to a scene where
Ryan's
like
damn it, he hung up again.
At this point, too, I was assuming that Lindsay Lohan was dead.
Right.
Because the last time he saw her,
he
was yelling at her.
Just to clarify,
she was trapped.
Do you mean in real life or in this movie? Because I really was. There was a point where in real
life, she was trapped in a glass coffin.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more like a paperboy thing where he kills her and then it's like you don't know she's dead for a few scenes or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, given her acting style in this movie, they could pull that off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then he goes from murdering Cynthia, they're walking in the house, and she's just sitting on the couch like, how's it going? How's the therapist?
Got my bags packed, ready to go.
I guess she was alive.
And then she's like, well, I'm glad you're back from the therapist. So I'm going to go. I think we're going to wrap this up. I just want you to know I'm going to go, and I want you to be okay with it. So I waited to go to actually tell you that I'm going. And James Dean is like, that's cool. I respect that. Just one thing. Just need you to be an alibi for me. So if you'll be an alibi for me, I'm cool with this.
That's basically
thing
exactly
up.
How it goes.
Yeah. And then he says, and if you see Ryan again, I'll murder him and I will get away with it.
Yeah. And one more thing, I'm going to kill Ryan if you ever see him again.
Yeah.
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 Nod your head, baby.
That and the alibi. That's all I need.
And Lindsay Lohan, who, it's hard to criticize her acting in this movie. There are moments.
In this scene, she's decent. I mean, she's
She wasn't terrible. There's like scenes in this movie where she's really spaced out.
Well, she's a good crier.
I feel like probably nights where she didn't go on like a drug and drinking binge, she was like okay, and then like 90% of the time she did.
From that article, it sounds like she just whenever she needed to be emotional, she literally like went in another room and just thought about her life and came out crying. That's basically what it was. And...
Oh God, that's so sad.
Yeah. Well, those are that is incredibly sad, and it is the most convincing acting she does in the movie. I actually don't think Lindsay Lohan was doing that badly. I remember about halfway through, I was like, oh, I'm going to be mocking Lindsay Lohan's acting. And about halfway through, I mean, I'm totally...
Yeah, it's
everyone else in the movie is, like, below the line terrible.
It's not what her... It's not her acting that...
It's more the inconsistency.
It's her behind-the-scenes craziness that I think hurt the movie, too.
Yeah.
Like, on screen, she's okay, but it's like...
And she's just okay. Right. Like, I think... Well, and you also... I don't know. I have a strong feeling that they were editing around her a lot of this movie. That they were, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this movie went through a very tumultuous edit, and I have a feeling that involved footage with Lindsay Lohan.
Now, we didn't discuss, we mentioned it earlier, the pictures of the derelict movie theaters, the decrepit, dilapidated buildings, but for some reason the film decided to do, like, Halloween 3 and have, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I was counting down.
Hit Thursday, and they didn't even make it to Friday. They hit Thursday, and that was the last one you saw.
Yeah,
And they didn't start it until, like, midway through the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was, like, Monday. I'm like, oh, did it matter that it was Sunday before?
It's not like early in the movie they said, like, this big thing happens on Thursday.
Yeah.
And they count down to it. It's just like, oh, it's Wednesday now.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's going to pack her bags on Thursday. We'll start on Sunday and work our way there.
So then the last scene in this movie is just baffling.
This like, is baffling.
It's baffling.
And it features more of those crappy background extras.
Well, I guess you could call them extras, but yeah.
The two guys at the table.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's talking to this girl.
This made me laugh so hard.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's Lindsay Lohan and her new, like, rich guy. Boyfriend.
It's a similar... The movie ends kind of where the movie begins, with four people at a table.
Yeah. And sitting across from them are, just a random couple, and they're talking. So they all kind of look like they're involved in the conversation. And then Lindsay Lohan and the girl start talking, and
they cut to a four shot of
all of them. And I kind of figured, like, oh, they're all just listening to each other. And I'm like, no, the two girls are talking to each other, and you can hear them clear as day. Yeah. But the two guys,
they're kind of mumbling.
They just cut the audio of the two guys.
Yes. Are muted, but still having a conversation.
And they're not whispering. That's totally like.
And this is where I'm like, Paul Schrader, you have been in Hollywood. There are so many other ways from a directorial standpoint to accomplish this. You could have pushed in. You could have done this through editing. No, we just
because if they didn't,
you could have had the guy.
If they didn't show,
the guys get up and go to the bathroom.
If they didn't show those guys, it's like, okay, whatever. You're just focusing on this conversation, but showing that foreshadow where these guys are still like motioning
6 inches
each
from each other.
I know.
So bad.
And they're talking about this girl that died, and she's obviously being cagey about it. And they're totally like talking about whatever.
They're like talking about Monday Night Football.
They definitely. I have to think they botched this on the night and didn't get the coverage that they were supposed to get. They didn't get the right coverage, because there's no way, and why the master was a four shot is a whole other question, but yeah.
So then the girl who Lindsay was talking to gets up and goes to the bathroom, and she calls someone on her phone, and she starts saying, like, oh yeah, you asked her the questions you want me to ask her, you want me to ask her anything else, and of course you're assuming it's Christian. And then
Christian's James Dean.
Yeah. And she goes, oh, she seems happy even if she's faking it. And then she goes, Ryan? And it cuts in, it's Ryan, like, sitting in the dark, all sad and emo, holding the phone to his ear and, like, looking all sad. And then the camera, like, trucks into him, or dallies into him, and then he just, like, looks into the lens, and then it, like, cuts to him.
And then we get a montage, like a slideshow of dilapidated movie theaters.
Yeah.
And the last shot is the music fades out oddly, and the last 10 seconds of the credits are still rolling, and there's a shot of empty movie theater seats. And I thought that was the perfect statement of how I felt at the end of this movie.
It was really, I mean, I think...
I feel like that was the ending to, like, a horror movie. Where, like,
pop out.
Or no, where, like, you know how they do that in horror movies where, like, the good guy will think he gets away, and then, like, the creature pops up at the last second and they show just like the worried look of the guy and then it cuts to credits. Like, no, this is just kind of like a weird...
And Bison's fist comes out of the debris.
What is even is the category of this movie? Like a drama suspense?
I think they're going for thriller.
I think they're going...
It was very slow.
I think what Brett Easton Ellis was going for was a... He would call it like a noirish... thriller or something. I think he was going for more of an American Psycho kind of thing, his style, where it's kind of like, you know, a noir kind of thing, and kind of a statement on a certain section of society or whatever. But then Schrader made it more of a Paul Schrader movie, and so it was like these two weird things together that don't really go together.
Yeah.
So it didn't end up being what either of them wanted it to be.
One, we should note, too, this movie... wanted to be in the South by Southwest Film Festival and the Sundance Film Festival and was kept out of both for quality issues.
Wow.
Honestly, if you made this movie and watched it, like, I know generally when you work on a movie yourself, you tend to think it's better than it is, but, I mean, they had to know.
Well, here, this is actually...
That's like bringing fast food to...
Brian just beautifully segued into another phrase.
Well, here Brian needs another food analogy.
I know.
Another
food analogies.
Yeah,
that's what he always goes with.
This is this week's so wrong it's right question. And some of you, if you know it, you know, or someone in this, if at home you know it, feel free to talk out loud. But if you're in this room and know the answer, hold on to your answer. While this movie was in editing, a very well-known Hollywood director was shown a cut of it. Who volunteered, said, if you give me 72 hours, I will re-edit your movie and fix it. The theory in Hollywood was that this director was saying to Paul Schrader, you have pacing issues, let me clean up your pacing. And Paul Schrader thought this person wanted to do a complete re-edit and was offended, saying like, oh, no one could do a complete re-edit in 72 hours. Whereas I think this person literally was just like, no, you need to lose like 5 frames here, 20 frames here. I'm going to give you four options for which well-known Hollywood director volunteered, apparently at no cost, to re-edit this movie.
To help his buddy out.
And their services were refused.
Okay.
I know.
Was it Quentin Tarantino, Alexander Payne, Catherine Bigelow, or Steven Soderbergh?
And this is fast food related?
Well, yeah. And think about how terrifying it is that any of those directors, if any of those directors say for free they will actually give you an edit of your movie, your answer should be yes. Please. Yes, please. But their services were turned down.
I'm going to say Bigelow, Catherine Bigelow.
Okay, Jack Owen Bigelow.
I didn't know.
Cody knows the answer. Okay.
I'll go with Tarantino.
Tarantino. No winner this week, Steven Soderbergh.
Really?
Steven Soderbergh volunteered, said, give me 72 hours, I'll clean up your movie, and they turned it down.
Well, that was a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not Steven Soderbergh, I don't know, but my guess is Soderbergh, who's a fantastic editor, clearly just saw the pacing issues and thought, hold on, if I can just cut and snip, we can get the rhythm of this movie working. Right,
right. Like not, so the idea was he wasn't like... taking over the movie. Like,
I don't think he
sucks,
wanted
I'll
to do.
Over,
yeah, I don't think he wanted to actually shift the order.
I don't think
scenes.
He wanted his name attached.
Yeah, I think he just saw like, oh, this is a $200,000 movie. They probably had a very young and experienced editor. Let me help your inexperienced editor. But I don't know, egos and stuff got in the way. And so, yeah, it's terrible. I don't know.
Like
where
I
else
said,
to go.
I think it's like The Paperboy, but worse. That's how I saw it.
I Know Who Killed Me Too.
Basically, yeah. Either way,
like, couldn't you see
way,
this happening to Lindsay Lohan's character from I Know Who Killed Me?
I could actually.
Like, as she grows up.
I definitely
could
see this. This is where Dakota, this is the life
Dakota
lives.
Like, she was a stripper. She had, kind of a, you know, near-death experience.
West.
So she moves out west, right, for a fresh start. Finds this guy, kind of taps into her kinky past.
Yeah.
It would explain why she's so, free with her body.
That's true.
Yeah.
But her finger didn't fall off in the shower, so that theory gets
shot Christian
down.
Is very rich, so he paid for very expensive
surgery.
Prosthetics and surgery.
Sorry,
I just want to say one more thing. A thought went into my head at the end of the movie that I realized would have made it a much better movie, and it started because when I first saw that last dinner scene with the four people, I thought Ryan was the guy on the other end of the table from Lindsay Lohan.
Because they weren't showing him.
Oh.
Because he had similar hair, kind of. Yeah. So I was thinking, oh my gosh,
Yeah. It's going to be a twist where, like, Lindsay and Ryan, like, are running this scam, and Lindsay Lohan gets with these rich guys, and then they somehow, like, mess him up and get his money. Like, I know that it hadn't happened at that point, but I was thinking, like, oh, maybe there's, like, 10 minutes more in this movie, and they're going to go back in time and be show Lindsay Lohan taking all of, like, his money. I thought maybe that's why...
She took the patent for Tech TV.
Yeah, maybe that's how... That's how they got their fortunes.
Yeah.
But I thought maybe that was a whole setup, because they were like, okay, they showed that Christian, that James Dean has this guy who can take money from bank accounts.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe they were like setting it up to like, okay, actually Lindsay Lohan knows this guy and they're going to take Christian's money.
Right.
And they just con account. Him.
Yeah.
And then it's going to end with, okay, it's starting all over again with this guy.
That actually
which actually would
be like a Wicker Man ending.
Yeah, but what about Cynthia though? That's a loose end you got to tie. He murdered Cynthia. Christian did.
Oh, they don't care. They got their money.
Yeah, but he totally threatened her that he was going to kill her.
Nah, well,
it didn't actually happen. We're just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like that, though.
I thought that's where it was going to be. Like, yeah, I thought it was going to be like Wicker Man. When they're like, they're back at the bar again, getting people.
Yeah, yeah. That's
not how it ended.
It should have been.
I will say, I know I sometimes get accused of saying every movie we do in this show is so bad it's good. This one was not for me. I didn't enjoy watching it.
Oh, my God.
Halfway through, it felt like 2 hours.
That felt so long.
Yeah.
I looked, and it was like 35 minutes in. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. I don't recommend this yet. At all.
It was the worst.
Yeah.
This is one of the more
I felt really dirty after watching it.
I felt depressed. Like,
Yeah, I was kind of sad, too, after. I'm like, it's like kind of sad that someone can actually make a
like,
movie.
Like, Bret Easton Ellis would probably like the way I felt after the movie, but yet I would not recommend anyone else watch it.
Yeah.
You got to feel bad for Paul Schrader, too, because, I mean, he got that Exorcist movie. He did the Exorcist movie, and then they totally reshot it on him. They hired another director and said, okay, we're redoing this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the worst things.
His career has never been.
Well, I think it's one of the worst things because he, the story Cody's telling us, he made an, I think it's Exorcist 4.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember
the exact title. Came out like 10 years ago.
He made it, made a complete film. The studio went back and said, we hate your movie. Yeah. We're going to remake the movie you made.
They hired Rennie Harlan.
So he was fired.
Saw your movie. It sucked. See ya. I'm going to go murder a yoga instructor.
We're bringing in Rennie Harlan, which has got to be, as a director, like. Wow.
Ouch.
Okay. And,
Zing.
And I saw that movie and it wasn't good.
Oh, yeah. And that one's not good. Yeah.
I think they ended up releasing Schrader's version too. But
yeah, they did.
It was a prequel. DVD, it was a prequel to The Exorcist.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty harsh. But so I don't recommend it. And, oh, God. As always, please do what we do like, however, is our Facebook page. Be our friend on Facebook. Stop the movie. I want to get out. You can message us. We are going to be reading in upcoming weeks. We're going to be reading messages we get on Facebook.
You want to message us for rendezvous? Three ways?
We read all of our messages on Text TV. Messages on
it's
Facebook.
Really annoying. We try to watch a movie, and like every time a text comes,
God, someone else texted me. Just
God
say
damn
what
Text TV.
You can always send us suggestions. The Octopussy episode came about because loyal listener Max Winters sent that in on Facebook.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Friend of the show.
So you can send in movie suggestions, your thoughts. And actually on...
If you want to defend a movie that we don't like, by all means, we encourage that kind of discussion.
I don't encourage
that. Well, actually, friend of the show, Tony DePaulvere, was defending Masters of the Universe.
Different strokes for different folks.
Not that bad, which I promptly said... No, it really is. It is that bad. It's outrageous. You can send us stuff on Twitter, at Windup Films.
Mm-hmm.
There's if you've been following us on at Windup Films, you've been getting a preview of friend of the show, Nick Newert, has a Blu-ray of a movie you will be seeing here very soon, the George Romero modern era motorcycle jousting movie, Night Riders.
I missed that one.
Oh, it's gonna get weird. It's gonna get weird up in here for that one.
How could it couldn't here? Possibly get any weirder than this.
It might be a different kind of weird. I don't know. It's a biker gang that gets involved in medieval style jousting.
Yeah.
And it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
The title alone sells the movie for me.
So yeah, be our friend on Facebook and we should also mention, we haven't mentioned this on the show yet. We are very happy that we are a featured podcast on Podbean.com. which is very nice. We should thank Cody Wolf. Wow. Cody Wolf really is the guy who makes all the show happen.
Cody, how'd you do it?
It takes a lot of time, a little bit of magic.
Yeah. And Cody and Jack really make the Facebook page happen for those
who are... It's mostly Jack.
You know, and they make
I know what Cody did. Oh, Cody went over to Podbeam and they were like, we'll get you your featured podcast, but...
You got to take a vacation with me over the weekend. I got
I'm
right
going.
There.
I'm going up to Plattsburgh this weekend.
And I said, "Why don't we just do it now? Why wait?
I want this thing up by Monday. Let's just do it now."
The sordid business of podcasting.
It's tough, but that's why Cody's the man for the job.
Terrible.
What can I say?
And Jack and Cody at Jack Estabrook, at Cody A. Wolf on Twitter, and at Wind Up Films
I'm still upset.
The show.
Randy Andy Wolf missed this episode, but.
You're upset, although I think there's a lot of law enforcement professionals who are very happy that he missed this show.
Yeah, this is definitely potential for To Catch a Predator today.
Yes, yeah. This
Chris Hansen would have definitely interrupted that podcast.
Yeah.
What do you have a seat?
Yeah, iTunes would have kicked us off the iTunes store immediately. So that brings this one to a close. We will be back very soon with the instant classic Sharknado. Will be coming up next. The modern So Bad It's Good classic.
A mockbuster.
Yes. So I guess that's it. We will see everyone back here next week.